Well, our goal is this year, God set our hearts so that we would, you would have a better life. Amen. We're talking about have a better life. We're talking about prospering as your, and being in health as your soul prospers. We're looking at healthy relationships, healthy bodies, prosperity, and, which includes finances, but is not limited to finances. Prosperity is taking the ability of God and blessing mankind. So you can do things if you do have some finances. That's a good thing. But you also need some health and some character and some other things. The dream of this church is to help people grow up in the Word. It's to bring you from milk to meat, from religion to reality, and from victim to victor. That's what we have our hearts set on. It's been always been the vision of the church. And the other dream for this church, the other prong, I would say, is, which should be yours if you're in a family member here, is to host the presence of God. Mm-hmm. So those two things, we're looking for you becoming a victor and for you personally hosting the presence of God, not leaving it up to the preacher, not leaving it up to just the fivefold ministry, but doing your part. And as you can see now in this awakening, there it's, as Jesse said, it's just everybody worshiping God. Everybody just worshiping God. And God is filling the atmosphere. So we want to glorify God in every meeting. So when we have these things that you've seen today, it's the right way to go. And you understand that when people are laughing like they were laughing, that's changing them. They are getting rid of the chaff when they're laughing. Things are being washed out of their soul in miracle ways. So we're not just laughing to act goofy or to put on a Pentecostal show. It's coming out of our, we can't help it. We're laughing and it catches. The Holy Spirit works like leaven. You get close to someone and who's doing something, it'll get off on you. And so you have to get comfortable with these things. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, you know, the reason why we want him manifesting is because we want him to fully come on the scene. And the more he comes on the scene, the more we can reach the world. And the more he comes on the scene, the faster you'll stand in your dream. And hopefully your dream includes, a major part of it would include him, as Danny was praying and talking about there. So now this is not selfishness. Though a lot of religious people, that think they're in some kind of false humility, they would think that us doing well is not a good thing. But they're deceived in their thinking. Because the master's design is that everyone does live better. Did you get that?
Yes.
So the truth is some serve the betterment of humankind, and some others simply serve themselves. Come on. So we're not here receiving Holy Spirit because we just want to serve ourselves and go away and say, well, we had a hoop-de-doo. Or we don't want to just prosper and have a big bank account just so we can say, look how much I have. It's to be a giver. And I think Danny said it so well when she said, who's fussing about the church and money? Who's doing the fussing? Either the people that want to keep it or the ones that don't have it. That's just the truth. But, and when it comes to health, of course, we're always dealing with the folks who think that God put something on you to teach you a lesson, which couldn't be further from the truth. But I'm telling you, we're on the right path. If you have a better life, somebody near you is going to have a better life. Somebody's going to want Jesus.
That's so good.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll pick up some speed here in a minute. But you know, this actually, we carry this sense of hope that things can be better, and it's right. We should want things to be better. Each and every one of us should want that. And we pick that up when you start looking just in the world and you look at, science, you look at technology, you look at entertainment. Everything lives under the influence of this inner desire to make things better. That's why they created that phone you had, so it'd be easier, so you wouldn't go home every day and have to listen to the machine that took your message. Right? And like, there's two favorite things on my car. The one is the backup camera. Yeah. See, everybody went, yes. Yeah. And then the one that tells you if someone's in your blind spot.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad somebody was in working on betterment.
That's right.
And that helps everybody. It makes everybody safer. It makes the whole world better. Amen. Amen. And so this is a good thing, is us. It's just the nature of humans, being made in the image of God, that we want things to be better. This is the way creative people function. We draw upon our God-given abilities to come up with solutions to solve problems and answer whatever the issues are that are in the way of progress. Every person within the sound of my voice is called to solve a problem.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And then God works with this instinct and he draws us into our potential. I know there's a big deal right now, and I want you to be mindful of this. Please hear me as your pastor. Be mindful of this. None of me and all of him. All of him and none of me. Now that sounds really holy. Did y'all hear the bottle hit me? That's on TV. Glory to God. Okay. When Jesus left the earth, he didn't tell us to decrease. Did he? Instead, he passed the baton to us and said, now you do what I've done, only greater works you'll do.
Amen. That's right.
That's what he said. So what is needed is not less of us and more of him, but what is needed is all of us covered and filled by all of him.
Oh,
all of us. Every bit of me covered and filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing Father, knowing Jesus, working with the heavenly society, the angels. Amen. This is what's required. It's not required that you decrease. Well, what about John? John decreased on the earth in the movement of Jesus taking over that area.
Yes.
But it wasn't about him decreasing as a person or what his anointing was. You're not called to decrease. You're called to increase.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we need revelation and we need to know who we are. We need to understand our place in the kingdom of God. And we need to get a prosperous soul and we need to understand where we stand with God. And so we've been working on our faith, and so I want to chain something to that today. So you're there at Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, listen to me. I'm going to read you the Passion Translation. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. It moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith. This is what the scripture means when it says we are right with God through life-giving faith. So what this is telling us is the gospel reveals, so get the revelation.
Yes.
The gospel reveals God's way of making us right. God's way of making us right. Okay? Himself. So the gospel reveals how God puts people right with him. That's what Paul's teaching them right there. And he says the gospel is the power of God And then he mentions faith four times. Interesting. So here's the truth. Get this truth. If you're going to walk by faith and you're going to overcome by faith, then you're going to need a very strong revelation of righteousness. And so you may say, oh, well, here we go. I know this subject. Pastor's going to preach on righteousness. I know it. But let me say something to you. Very important here. Your faith works best when you have a righteousness consciousness. We need to be conscious of the righteousness that we are, that belongs to us. So we would talk about it and preach about it and teach about it as much as we would teach on faith and love and hope and any subject that we need to. We need to always go back and eat the word on righteousness. Amen. So your faith is going to work best then. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin had visitations from Jesus. We all know that. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down on his face and he said, no one as unworthy as I am should look upon your face. And Jesus just reached down and said, get up, just get up. And he told him that he had washed him in his blood and made him worthy. All on our own, we're not worthy, but in him, we're worthy. And so, you know, I hear people say this, I'm so glad that happened for you because you deserve it. Well, only in Christ, because we're all stinkers. You know what I mean by that. Every person in here has sinned and come short of the glory. But because of God, because of Jesus, we are worthy. And we deserve, because Jesus made us worthy. Jesus did it. Right. Amen. Amen. Romans 5:17 says, death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as a king over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. So that's where we are. We are righteous because he has made us righteous. Amen. So I want to give you three facts about righteousness. Number one, righteousness is a free gift. You can't do anything to earn it. Number two, righteousness is a legal declaration. You have been declared righteous and justified by God. And number three, righteousness is a spiritual force. It is a free gift. It is a legal declaration and it is a spiritual force. I'm going to read Romans 5:17 to you. I think Ronnie has it there to put up. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more. This is the same scripture, but I'm reading it over again because I want you to see something. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. They who receive. Some people have a hard time receiving free gifts. I just was listening to some preacher. I don't know. I hear so many of them every week. One of them said, yeah, sometimes you'll try to give someone money and they'll go, oh no. Oh no, I couldn't take that. I'm trying to give you a gift. Oh no, I couldn't. See, even if it's a free gift, some people don't want it. They don't want to take it. Why? Because they don't feel worthy. They don't feel worthy. I couldn't take that. I couldn't do that. Praise the Lord. So you have to be willing to receive. If you'll receive it, you'll not be a victim any longer. If you'll receive your gift of righteousness, you won't be a victim. You'll be a victor. Because you're justified. They used to say in our old town church, they used to say, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Justified. Praise the Lord. Self-righteousness won't cut it. Lots of religion has made up lots of things to help people try to get righteous. Have they?
Yep.
Many of us have tasted of that. If you do this and you do this and you do this and you do and you'll be good and then you'll be righteous. But that's not Bible. Mm-hmm. That's not what the Bible says. It says our righteousness is as filthy rags. God gave us righteousness. He made us righteous. When Jesus made you righteous, he didn't break you out of jail. Mm-hmm. You're not on the lam.
Yeah.
You're not out of jail and hiding and sneaking.
There you go.
You're actually the highest court with the highest judge declared you righteous. The highest court said they're innocent. They're righteous. They're in right standing with me. You're not running from the law. You have legally walked out of prison, legally walked out of the courtroom. You've legally walked away from the accuser of the brethren. Legally. It's a legal declaration. And you know, I'd say, listen, if you're still dealing with things, you're still dealing with some bad habits or whatever, every time you approach that bad habit or whatever it is, just say, thank God I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God I'm the righteousness. And pretty soon you'll throw the pack cigarettes away. Pretty soon whatever's hurting you, whatever's not good for you, pretty soon you'll get rid of that. But if you just get sin conscious, I don't know why I keep doing this. I don't know why. Then it's just going to perpetuate the problem. But if you'll start saying who you are,
yes, it's good.
Things will change.
Yeah.
You remember that song, I Fought the Law and the Law Won?
Yep.
We remember it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. No. I'll sing it for you later. Well, this is what we say. Grace fought the law.
Yeah.
And grace won. Grace won. Praise God. Here's the truth, church. When you stay sin conscious, you go deeper into the sin. I haven't break this, can't break this, can't break this, not breaking this. You're just building the wrong stream. If you're in right standing conscious, if you're right standing conscious, then you're going to come out because you're going to keep saying, no, I've been declared right. See, the religion always gets the horse before the cart. It's always trying to say, now, if you'll straighten up, if you'll do good, if you can change this, which you can't, that's the problem with the law. The law will tell you what you did wrong, but it has no power to change you. Grace will tell you what you did wrong, but it has the power to get you to the next place. It doesn't mean do whatever you want to. It means no, it's the empowerment to change. And there's mercy when you haven't got it the first time or the second time or the 94th time or whatever it is. You will come through if you get your thinking right about righteousness.
Amen.
Have you ever flown first class? It's so different.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
In coach, you know. You know. Glad Randy's not here today. He's probably listening, but you know, Southwest doesn't have first class, but love you, Randy. Love you. He usually watches on the, when he's flying. First class is way better. It's way better. Righteousness is first class. The righteousness in Christ is, it's first class. It's a better life. It's a life that's easier. You're doing things in the right order. You're sitting in the right place. And if you've been declared righteous, then that should be your confession. Anybody ever pull a trailer? You know what a towing hitch is? All the men. Oh, me? Yeah. And sis there, we know about it. You pull a trailer. So there's this pin. Oh, I have to be honest. I've been around it. I just watched John do it. Tell the truth. But there's this pin that holds the two things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? So the truck and the trailer, they're actually held together by this little pin. And it just goes through this hole on the side of the hitch. And the hitch, the ball, and the trailer are all held together by that one pin. And if you don't have that one pin, you're going to lose the trailer. It's not going to be there. Now, the real weight of what you're hauling is on the hitch. It's not on the pin. The real weight of what you're hauling is on the hitch. But without the pin, that's what confession is. Confession is that pin that holds everything together, that pulls the load for you. It doesn't actually pull the weight of it. It's the grace of God that's pulling the weight for you. But that pin is so important. So that's why our confession is so important. So that's why it's so important for you to stop navel gazing and tearing yourself up and listening to the enemy and start saying, you know what? I may not have it all down, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm all right. And you're all right. You can think that about other people too, can't you? Praise the Lord. So the wonderful thing about righteousness is that it is a spiritual force. It's God produced. Listen to Hebrews 10:1. It says, for the law having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. So, there's no other sacrifice but Jesus. Let me walk back on this to try to help somebody who may be new at this. When Moses went up the hill, things were not really very good with Israel. So he goes up and they tell him, we don't want to talk to God. We're scared of him. You go talk to him, find out what he wants and we can do it. Not very smart, but that's what they said. We can do it. We can do it. Just go get him and we can do it. So he comes back with the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are, you know, In when you read them in King James, it's pretty tough. But if you could just read them in Texas, it would just say, hey, you don't need a bunch of other gods. I'm your God. You don't need somebody else's wife. I'll give you a good wife. It's that, if you could hear God's heart, that flavor would have been in it. But he tells them what to do and what not to do. And, of course, they couldn't do it. So what does our wonderful God do? He sets up a sacrificial system yearly to do away with their sins so they'd be okay. So that's what this is talking about. Every year, they had to get rid of sin. But now Jesus. So you don't have to be sin conscious. You can just be righteous conscious. When you do something wrong, just get right back in there with God. My Father in the Lord always says, run to God, not from him. Amen. He knows when you did it, not when you came to tell him about it. Yeah. Amen. And so the best thing to do is to just get yourself back. I am the right. That's part, should be, you know, when they say confess your sins, he'll forgive you and cleanse you. The best thing you could say right there is, Lord, you see this? I messed up, but I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness. You start confessing that. You start saying that. You start believing that. Get over things quickly. Get over things quickly. When you mess up, get over it quickly. Praise the Lord. Jesus has done it all. There's no room for us to have boasting. People say, well, you know, I deserve to get healed because I've taught children's church for 42 years. Tell it, Margaret. That ain't it, she said. It's not going to cut it. Well, I was the director of the such and such. That's not going to cut it. Jesus is the answer. Jesus did it all. Jesus will forever be the whole answer. As I said before, you know, men try to come up with some kind of religion to make themselves feel good all the time. Well, if I can do this and I can do this and I can do this, then I'll feel better about myself. Just go ahead and feel good about yourself. Jesus paid. Here's where you feel good about yourself. Jesus loves me. He loves me so much that even when I've messed up all these times, He loves me. Gee, that'll make you happy right there. Amen. Let me tell you about the power behind the force of righteousness. I'm pretty sure there are a number of people who could tell me in one word. But you were given this free gift. You were declared righteous. You enjoy your force of righteousness because of the blood of Jesus. Yes. The blood of Jesus that paid. That is the force behind righteousness. Your faith in the blood makes you 100% righteous. What Jesus paid with makes you righteous. You remember a few years ago when it was real popular. I know some sassy girls, I don't know who they were, but when something would happen and they wanted to ignore it, they would just go, talk to the hand. Yeah. You remember that? They'd just say, just talk to the hand. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all were on the earth then, right? Okay, so when the devil comes with his accusations,
yeah,
tell him, don't talk to me, talk to the blood.
Amen.
Talk to the blood.
Good.
Devil, here's God, here's Jesus.
Amen.
And he'll say, I find no fault in them, get out of here.
Yeah.
The blood has paid, amen. You know, this is a selfie age. Have you noticed that? People are changing their page every week with all their selfies. You know? So, here's one of me doing that, and here's another one of me. You know, whatever. You know, they're just selfie, selfie, selfie. Do you kind of sense self in that? Anyway, selfie. But anyway, selfies all the time, selfie. Now that excludes Amanda because she has to get in our group pictures by doing the selfie. But she's doing it for the right reason. But it's the selfie age and people like to take those pictures. And sometimes other people will jump into the picture. And they call that a photobomb. Right? So we have several photobombs. I think about Toby jumping in one of our pictures and it was real funny and everything. But the photobomb. Nowadays, they actually have a camera that will take out the extra person.
Yeah.
It's really pretty cool because the old boyfriend, you can just remove him and take it. The girls were laughing. We went to the rodeo yesterday and so before we went, I was telling them that I went to the rodeo every year. I'd have a different date, you know. And so my pictures of the rodeo is half because I'd cut the boyfriend out. And then the next year I had to cut that one out. And then, but nowadays they have a camera that'll just get the boyfriend out. Praise the Lord. So, yeah. Well, when the enemy tries to photobomb you with your past, he's trying to photobomb your future with your past. If I can bomb that picture and you focus on your past in the picture instead of what you're going to, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to press the button and get him out of the picture. You're going to have to do that in your thinking. You're going to have to get rid of him. The force of righteousness, the blood of Jesus, will remove the photobomb. Talk to the blood. Remember what you did. You were so bad when you were a teenager. Talk to the blood. Remember when you smarted off recently? Talk to the blood. I was listening to Mac Hammond. I love Mac Hammond, and he gives leadership points. And he says, when someone's talking to you, you need to watch your face. Because they're immediately going to be able to tell if you're interested or not,
yeah,
or if you care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say what? You know. So if you're really going to be a good leader and people are talking to you, You have to watch how you're looking at people. Y'all are all watching. Okay, everybody's going right now. Watch your face. It's true. We want to watch how, you know. And I ask you all to please forgive me. I'll just say something right here. When you talk to me after I've preached and you see me glazing, it's not you. I'm trying to focus. But when you're under the anointing, it takes a little while to come out of that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why sometimes I'm not quite so focused as I want to be, but I'm trying. I want to have the right face. But here's the thing. He's after your future with your past. Don't back up. Don't back up. Say, don't back up. Look at somebody and tell them, don't back up. So the rental companies on those vans you can rent. We've done that a few times, the van things. Yeah. So the rental companies, they have a sign on their van and it says 90% of all accidents are from backing up. That's what it says on the rental vans. 90% of accidents are from backing up. So you never look back if you want the power of God in your life. Don't back up. Don't look back. Don't quit. Don't get out. Move forward. Yes. Just move forward. Grace of God will propel you forward. You don't have to quit. You don't have to be freaked out over everything. Let peace be your umpire. Let peace help you. Just be in peace. And when you hear those things coming into your thinking, talk back to them. That's not my thought. Talk to the blood, devil, because I'm not guilty of that. I've repented of that, and you can't get me for that. Jesus has paid the price. Amen. Don't back up. Now, just one more thing, church, and I'm going to close. Shame is the issue that drives almost every compulsive, self-defeating behavior known to the human race. Shame is the root of all addiction. Alcohol, drug, spending addiction, approval addiction. I'll say that one again. Approval addiction. It may be forgotten. It may be hidden. It may be disguised. But shame, most likely, 99% of the time, is at the root of that. When people are counseling people, that's what they're dealing with. They're dealing with shame, and they're usually dealing with addiction. Now, you know, you're like, well, thank God I'm not addicted to alcohol or drugs, but there are other addictions. And one of them is approval. If you were the black sheep or the separate sheep of your family, you probably had a lot of thoughts of one of these days they're going to see how good I'm doing. I'm going to prove to them that I can do good. That's a thinking in one person's lane. I will prove that I'm good. But Jesus isn't interested in that. He's you're good to him right now. And then that shame thing comes from, it may have come from a teacher who just said shame on you. Or there's something that you did that made you feel unworthy. Don't back up. That's under the blood. It's gone. Recognize it and get rid of it. Whatever, you know, people that get abused, a lot of times they feel the shame and they didn't even do it when they were children or something, or get blamed for something they didn't do and they still feel the shame. I'm telling you, let go of it today. You're not shameful. Amen. You don't have to be ashamed. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you didn't do everything perfect, hey, let me tell you something. They answered it right there. Nobody. Nobody but Jesus. Let go of the shame. When you let go of the shame, those addictions will begin to just go away from you. They will. Amen. It's quiet in the church. Shame drives behavior, and we don't want that. It's usually, when they do counsel people, I'm going to say this and I'll close, but it usually surfaces first. Addiction and shame will surface first in counseling sessions. But I'm going to tell you how to get rid, the one thing that will get rid of shame. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Do you want to know how to get rid of it?
Yeah.
You're like, well, I don't have any. Well, good, but you may need to help somebody else. If you're shame free, I'm going to tell you how to help anybody in this world not have to have any shame anymore. It is faith in the blood of Jesus. Put your faith in the blood, and then that sense of guilt will be replaced by a sense of righteousness. Just the day on the playground when they were beating you up or calling you names, when that one person or that teacher or that whoever it was came up and said, I got you. You felt that relief. The blood of Jesus has got you.
Amen.
Jesus has got you. You are free from your past. Leave it behind today.
Amen.
Then your behavior starts changing. And then most of all, what happens when you get rid of shame is that you can approach God with confidence. When you feel bad towards someone, it's hard to approach them and ask them for anything. If you think, they don't love me, they don't receive me, I don't want to ask them for anything. I feel like that. I just back down from people, don't want to, you know, they think, I'm not likely to approach them. Will you help me or da, 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 da. I'm like, yeah, they're not going to want to. But if you know, you have confidence that someone loves you, you can walk right up to them and say, hey, can you help me? Can you do it? Well, you can have confidence in Jesus. He'll show up every time. Every time. The blood of Jesus never fails. Church, the blood of Jesus, when spilled from his body, is still alive. It's on the mercy seat in heaven. And it also was released into the atmosphere in the quantum world. And every time he took a stripe on his back, those corpuscles, everything that's bleeding through is the spirit of God, the life of God within that blood. Corpuscles, is that right? Y'all are laughing, so I don't know if I said it right. Okay. Whatever's coming out there, the blood, it's got life in it. And that life hit the atmosphere, so all you got to do is go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' blood paid it all. The blood of Jesus is so close and important to the heart of the Father. He's very, very, I don't even know how to say it. He's very, very particular about it. It's an honorable thing. We need to think highly of the blood. And here's a big secret for you. When you start making much of the blood, the glory will come. The glory will come. When you start making much of the blood, the presence of God will show up. God, this is very dear to his heart. That's the best way to say it. The blood cleanses your heart. It cleanses you of all of feeling unworthy, church. Can you sense that? I am, say this, I am the righteousness of God, in Christ Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. Can you sense that right now? Can you sense, yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. Because you are all right. You're all right. You need to be conscious of this. Then you're going to track forward. It's free. It cost Jesus everything, but it's free to you. It's free to you. And available every day. Jesus said, those that drink my blood, remember that? Now they were so messed up over that because their religion, the Jewish people do not drink blood. But that's not what he meant. He meant take in this life. Leviticus says the life is in the blood. You can't live without blood.
Right.
Why? Because life is in it. Because the light not like these lights. The light of God, who is light, is in the blood. It's in your blood. Or you wouldn't be living right now. But Jesus had pure blood. His blood is pure. And so that light and that life of Jesus that was poured out for you and you're receiving it will cause health to come to you and everything else to come to you and put your past behind you. You receive this today? Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Say, I'm the righteousness of God. I go free. I grow up in the light of God and His divine approval.